Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be here. I think there's more coming.
Yeah.
But we'll get started. As you know, we're continuing this type of meeting at the Caraga Hotel Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Amen. And let me also say that I very much appreciated that little bit of praise that we had this morning. I would have been even happy if we'd gone a little longer. But it was a very, very good praise. You know, the idea of praise is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And you know, there was a time that we tried to worship the Lord with our soul, soulishly. And of course, your soul has to be involved in the praise. But pleasing my soul and making my soul happy is not the main thing. The main thing is my spirit making contact with the Spirit of God. And this is how I communicate with God. And of course, then my soul is blessed. And my body will be blessed as well. Amen. You know, I was thinking before we begin with the Word, there's just a verse in Hebrews. You've heard it many times. I'm going to say it again. In the 6th chapter, verse 1, just a few verses. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Oh yeah, you have the microphone there, don't you? Yeah. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
Verse 1. Kita magpadayon ngadto sa pagkahimpit nga dili magpahiluna pag-usab sa katukuranan sa paghinulsod gikan sa patay nga mga
Now we're gonna
buhat ug sa pagtuo ngadto sa Dios.
Amen.
Amen.
So the first verse really is the basic first stop of the outer court.
Sa imong matigalin ha sa pipilo ng versikulo na ang naginahan ay kung unsa ang nangaituuhan sa mga Kristohanon.
This is the brazen altar. This is the shedding of the blood. This is the forgiveness of sins. This is born again.
Kini nga mao ang experience imong tanaw din ha, mao pili siya ka kung pagkatao pag-usap, kung tanaw na ito din ha sa tabernakulo, na din ha, hugasatan, mga galamito na naan din ha.
And the second verse takes us to another stop in the outer court.
O kini ikaduha nga bersikulo mo litikan na punta sa ikaduha ang diha sa mao nga tabernakulo.
But it is still the outer court.
Pero naapag diha po dinaasa diha sa gawas ng bahin.
And verse 2 is of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permit.
Sa pagtulunan sa mga bautismo o sa pagpandong sa mga kamot o sa pagkabanhaw sa mga patay o sa dayon nga hukom.
Now, the word of God says, let us go on from these basic things. The problem with average evangelical church is, let us stay where we are.
Ang problema magod sa ato ang kanang reliyo no kung ano sa repetitive din ha nga mupundo na lang ta kung asa na pita kita gusto nga magtuon.
In other words, there is a fear to get into the realm of the spirit because to many it is unknown territory.
Usahay mo abot mo ka nato manita gusto mo ato sa unahan kay na mahandog tato kay lahi na po na siya nga territory or dapit.
And so therefore you refuse the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Maula nga magpugong na ikaw pag na ibisibautismo sa Espiritu Santo di ka musugot na hindi kailain na mapunta siya nga David.
And you never get to go on to perfection.
Maula hindi ta makaabot dito sa timuha sa Dios kung ato na sa pinakahimpit ka ba David.
And the problem with the ministry that is oriented toward getting wealthy, perhaps, is that they will not let you go on from that point. That was just by way of introduction, and that's the introduction to everything I'm going to say this week. And I'm sure that any of my other brethren are going to say this week. Now let's get over into spiritual language in the Old Testament, Book of Amos.
Atong palakdan o palawang gamay ang atuang pangunahuna diha sa lawang dapit diha sa libro sa Amos.
You see, God had begun to speak to Israel in spiritual language a long, long time ago.
Ato ni Manuan mga isura na itong buhay na Diyos sa'y gusto yun ka masabtang sa Ginoo nga ang iyang makatawahan sa mga isalita na makasabutin kung saan ispirituharong nga panapulong.
Now, I'm going to start in verse chapter 8, verse 9, just so that we get context for verse 11.
Amos. Versículo 9 sa Amos.
Prophet Amos.
Pero kini siya ang bersikulo ha, kuni tanu diya po niya sa bersikulo 11.
Amen.
Chapter 8.
Okay. Now, Amos is speaking an end time message here.
Si Amos nagasulti siya mahitungo sa katapusan ng panahona, nini panahona.
But he's speaking a message for his time as well.
Apan nagahatag niya kung siya o mao mga mensahe niini nga mga panahon.
The word of prophecy, brethren, is for all times.
Ang mapulong ko sa propesiya o pagbanagna, o mahimo kini siya o mahitabo kini siya sa tanang ngayon nga panahon.
The word of prophecy is on all levels.
Ang mapulong sa propesiya kini tanan pantay kayo.
The word of prophecy is on the natural, it's on the spiritual, and it's on the fullness.
Ang mga propesiya niya, matatag mga natya
Amen. So let me start in verse 9, I guess. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day.
Verse 9. O kini mahitabo ni ana nga ilawha, magaingon ang Ginoo nga Dios nga ako mopahinabo sa adlaw ug mosalop sa kauktuhon, ug ako mopalingkit sa yuta sa hayat.
Now, the Lord is talking about in that day. And what day do you believe that would be? Without saying specifically, he is talking about the great and terrible day of the Lord. He is talking about a day that is very rapidly approaching in our time. And when he says in that day, he's not talking about a 24-hour period of time that we could mark on the calendar. As far as I'm concerned, we could possibly consider that we are now in the day of the Lord. Because there are many things that the Lord is going to accomplish in that day. Things that take more than 24 hours. Things that take more than weeks, more than months, more than years. And you know, the end purpose of God is to purge out all wickedness from the earth. And to see that righteousness is established in all the earth. And so he's saying in this verse that there is something that is going to afflict the earth. Now, if this righteous kingdom is to be established in that earth out there, it is going to have to be established first in this earth, my earth. The dust that I have been made of. But that isn't just my flesh, it's my soul is earthy. My soul likes the natural things that are pleasing to this flesh. My soul likes the easy preaching word, easy gospel. Happy gospel, prosperous, make a lot of money. And love, love, love.
para na dili mo hawa ang mga miyembro kinahanglan himuon yon bahala pagpagpagbalayon sa kasalanan.
And those things have a measure of truth. God loves us. He loves the sinner. He doesn't love what the sinner is doing. And he doesn't love everything I've been doing. But he is so much far greater than me that he wants to bring me to where he is. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that you might be where I am. So that I will be like him. So that I will think like him. So that I will have the kind of compassion that he has. So that I will hate unrighteousness like he does. And so in this great day of the Lord that is coming, he has to start with my earth. He has to find some sons that are willing to take this on. The outer court is filled with many children. Children are good. Amen. We must have children. Amen. We must. The only way to start in God is to start as a child. But if, when this little girl is 20 years old, she still thinks and acts like she does today, there is a problem. Yeah. And you see, it must be grievous to God to find this going on in his house. Forty-year-old children who still want toys. And you know, some of these toys that children want, 40 years old, cost thousands of dollars. And some of them have great religious television programs. And their toys include million-dollar jet planes. Jesus said, go not after them and do not follow them. Jesus was not looking for those things in his 3.5 years of ministry. The only finances he had, his friend was busy stealing from him. And then he betrayed him. I guess I shouldn't complain, huh? Okay, so he said that the sun, which is the type of God, would be going down in the midst of the day. If we are in this terrible and great day of the Lord, is it true that the sun is going down and getting darker? What do you think? Help me out here. Let's not be looking for an eclipse of the sun. Let's be looking at the spiritual language here. Is righteousness becoming more and more rare in the earth? Is unrighteousness getting more and more attention? Are people beginning to do the wicked imaginations of their heart and carry them out? What comes into a 19-year-old boy, school age, that he tries to kill 30-some people with a gun? Is this not the darkness of the sun coming into the souls of people? Is this not a darkness that's coming upon the earth? So then he says here in the next verse, I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation, and I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head, and I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. That's verse 10.
Kung ako mausap sa inyong mga pista ngadto sa kasumpanan, kung ang tanan ninyong mga awit ngadto sa pagkamutan, kung ako musulog og sapo nganha sa tanang mga hawak, kung pagkaupaw nganha sa matag ulo, kung ako mahimo niini nga ingon sa pagsubok sa usa ka buntong lalaking anak, kung ang katapusan niini ingon sa usa ka makapit na adlaw.
Now, he's talking about our religious celebrations. These are the feasts that are going on in the church. But you see, the church has taken on the feasts of the world. We're not trying to celebrate Passover and Tabernacles anymore. I mean the church. What was it? Yesterday? The 14th of February? Do they call that day today in Philippines?
Red.
This is a pagan feast, brethren.
Mao na kana pagano mao na nga mga pista. Tanawa ko ning
this is like celebrating Ashtara, Venus, whatever you want to call it. Goddess of lust has nothing to do with love. And the merchants have one more day to make more money.
Yes.
And make the men feel guilty because they didn't buy candy or flowers or a fancy card for their wife. I don't need to go on. You know what the others are. By the way, the origin of all these pagan feasts can be found in the prophets in the Old Testament. Christmas is found in Jeremiah. You know that. You know where to find it in Jeremiah. Come on, tell me, what does Jeremiah say about it? He said, "Don't be as the heathen. Go out in the forest, cut a tree, bring it in your house, stick it up so it stands upright, decorate it with gold and silver." Ezekiel, chapter 8. What's he talking about? What were the women weeping over Tammuz about? Come on, it's not in the tabernacle because it doesn't belong in the tabernacle. They were weeping over Tammuz. They were celebrating Lent. They were weeping over the death of Nimrod. Come on, brethren, I left some books here earlier called The Two Babylons. Have any of you ever gotten them and read them? I know I gave you a copy.
Yes.
How many have read them? Take some of your spare time if you have any. It's difficult to read, but you will be totally convinced of what I'm saying.
Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 8, the men were celebrating Easter sunrise service. I joined many years ago. I went into a Pentecostal church. New pastor,
23-24
years old, about like you guys. Did he help you?
Yeah.
Amen. And it was Easter morning. And he said the night before, he said, "We're going to have an Easter sunrise service."
Niyon 24 nga naga dumala niya na na isa nga karong Domingo natay gitawag na service sa Sunday Domingo.
Well, I'd never been to one of those before.
Wa mo siya ato, pero siya wa mo siya ato maka sinati.
You know, I was probably 37 or 38 years old. So I went with them that morning, and it was before the sun came up, and they all went out and they all looked east, and when the sun came up they had prayer and then they went back. And I thought, well, what was that all about? We could have done that back in my house. But you see, it's an ancient heathen tradition, and churches are doing this to entertain people. And this is what the music of these churches is. It's to entertain people. Now, today, when the sister got up and was leading us and the brother was on the guitar, we were praising the Lord and the people were praising the Lord with their voice. But I recently went to a place where they're born again believers, and they were going to have their praise. And there were three keyboards, maybe four. And the speakers were as big as these tables, stacked up. And the room was no bigger than this room here. And they were good songs that they were singing. But this noise ruined the songs. And I noticed that the people that were sitting were not opening their mouth to sing. It was only those few that had this thing, the microphone. And then I noticed that the man on the main keyboard, when they announced the song, he touched a couple buttons on the keyboard. And then he took his hand and he did a couple of keys. Burp, burp. And then that thing got going, and I thought, is he playing all that? But I watched him, and he took his hands off the keyboard and he reached over here to do something else, and the thing kept playing. It played all by itself.
But ang tanan dito ni buong-buong na lang siya o kanang baguyo.
And then I thought, the machine is praising God? No, a machine cannot praise God. How is this worshiping in spirit and in truth when the machine is doing it? And it was so loud. I'll finish here on this. I won't say any more about it. Rita carries earplugs with her. She put them in her ears. And then she said, I can feel it on my chest. I can feel it on my body. She went to the door and she stood outside because she couldn't stand. Okay. The Lord is saying that this is going to come to an end. He's saying that the sun is going down and the darkness is coming upon the earth, and all this holiday celebration business of church, he's going to bring it to an end. And he said it's going to be replaced with sackcloth, baldness of head, and mourning as if your only son has died. And the end thereof as a bitter day. Can you remember the worst day of your life?
Bitter
day. Yeah. Can you remember the worst day of your life? I don't know what it would be. Your mother died, your child died, everything went wrong in your day. It was just a terrible day. It's going to be worse than that. Now, here's the verse I was after. Amos 8:11. I did all that to bring you up to what God is saying in this verse. He's talking about a day that is coming. But not just a day, he said days. The days will come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
Verse 11. Tan-awa ang mga adlaw moabot, nagaingon ang Ginoo nga Dios, nga ako mo padala og usa ka gutom diha sa yuta. Dili usa ka gutom sa tinapay, ni usa ka uhaw sa tubig apan sa pagpaminaw sa mga pulong sa Dios.
Now, does that land include the land of the Philippines?
Kanang iyon din ha ang mao nga dapit
Does that land include Mindanao Island? So this is a prophecy that applies to you as well as to me where I live. Now I remember hearing this prophetic word maybe 30, 35, 40 years ago. And as far as I was concerned, I identified with this verse because I said, yes, there is a famine in my soul to hear the word of truth. And at the time, there were others in the churches that I knew who were listening to some of the prophets who were saying that God is going to bring this famine and He's going to fill the need and the desire. The sad thing is that not every one of these young ministers that was part of this went on and left the things of the basics behind and went on to perfection. Many of them settled into a nice building. A nice, faithful, tithing congregation. They developed a nice youth program. I'm talking about men who were young like me, who were all starting full gospel churches at the same time that I began in the place where I am. Some of them discovered the secret of drawing big crowds. And they began to build bigger barns. You know what I mean by barns? They build a place that would hold 1,000 people. They began to invite well-known names for speakers to come. And they began to get into the latest trends, the Toronto Blessing and all these other trends. So the thirst and the hunger that many had in those days has gone away. Some of the prophets began to prophesy strange things. Most of the prophets became quiet. And we never heard from them again. But I believe, brethren, that there is coming a famine again. An end time famine. Now the question I want to ask is this. Since God is in charge of the coming hunger and thirst for His Word, and you know that in your own strength, you can't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll hunger and thirst for the Lord today. I'll write it on the calendar. Maybe April 15 would be a good day. I'll start that day. Have you found out you can't do that? No. So God is going to do something to bring about these circumstances in the earth. He's going to do something to me to give me a longing for water.
Gusto siya na magbutang ang yatubuhin na Diyos, magbutang siya kung sa iliging butang sa tuwa para na ikaw mismo, ako mismo, mapag-auhaon.
He's going to give me a longing for bread.
Iyan, tagahanta, may tungkol sa pagpangandoy sa pagkaon espirituhanon.
No, I don't mean what I eat at my table.
Wako po ito pasabot na iso para na itong kinakaon matag-atlaw sa tuwa ng lamisa.
We're not talking about the food that my wife prepares for me. Or the food I can eat in a restaurant. Let me give you another example. When I came to this little fellowship in the city where I live, they were, shall we say, a bruised flock of sheep. Their shepherd had gotten into a lot of trouble. And they were cut off from about all kinds of fellowship. And I came to the awareness by the Spirit of God that we need to be part of the body of Christ. It can't just be my little church in my little village. I have to be part of other people that are wanting the same thing that I want. So another brother said to me, we have an organization that is the thing that you're looking for. Amen. I don't know what its name was. Something like Fellowship of Christian Assemblies or something like that.
Sa
So we went all the way down to Long Island to be part of their conference. And they brought out papers, and I said, okay, oh yes, I signed my name. Our group will be part of this group. And then I went to their meetings. Oh, my heart just grieved. One pastor got up and talked about his building program. Another one got up and talked about how they were recruiting new members. Now, I did not know any of these brethren in those days. But I went home and I said, oh my, what did I do? Oh God, forgive me. My heart was yearning, my soul was thirsting. I don't know what you went through in your time of search. I remember when we first started at the Caraga, how many years ago was it now? Seven or eight? That's 10 years. And there were many. There were many in leadership that came, and they tasted of the bread, and they drank a little of the water. And in the course of time, they made the same decisions as some of the men that I started with 40 years ago. It reminds me of the invitation that Jesus talked about to the feast. And they began to make excuses. And one went to his farm. One went to his business. Another parable about the same wedding feast. Some of them said, I have bought a yoke of oxen. Another farm, another business. Another man said, I've married a wife, I can't come. Well, why would a woman keep you from coming? What kind of woman is this? No, a natural woman. Bring her along. She needs to hear it too. No. I'm married to my denomination. I'm married to my sect. No, we don't see things that way. The, This message that you're bringing, Brother Mark, it's going to destroy all of our fun. You're going to take away our dancing. Our boogie-woogie. You're going to take it away? And my people aren't going to like it. And some of them were smart, and they really could see what was going to happen. My crowd is going to get smaller. My income is going to go way down. I'm going to have to do some other kind of work than pastor work. But, you know what? You can still shepherd sheep. You see, not every sheep is hungry for this kind of food. But you have to give them the choice. Even as we gave you the choice, even as we gave these other pastors the same choice. Now you see the plan of God. As you mature, you're not just going to keep this food on your own table. You hear me, brother? You see, when this happened in Jerusalem after the resurrection, they found hundreds, thousands even, of hungry people for that message. And many of those who were hungry and thirsty for that day received the fullness of the Spirit of God. And they began to go on to perfection. Hallelujah. But many also of the religious system became very angry. And the son of the bond woman began to persecute the son of the free woman. Even so it is now. You know, brethren, you think about the persecution that Paul went through. As near as I can tell, it was at least 90%, maybe 100% caused by religion.
Sa iyang experience ni Pablo, siguro mga lupinta o gani na ito sa sigatos ka porsinto na nahitabo sa iyang kinabuhi.
If it wasn't from the Jewish people, their religion, it was from the heathen religions.
Kung di magaling diha sa Jewish na religion, kung diha po sa mga lain na grupo sa mga religion.
And modern Babylon today is just an extension of those heathen religions, you know, Diana and all that, that were persecuting Paul in those days. So the problem, there became a problem in Jerusalem. Because they kept it all at their own tables. So what is God going to do to send them out of Jerusalem? What is an all-wise, loving God going to do to get you out of Jerusalem? He's going to send you persecution. And if you are mature in the word, he's going to scatter you abroad like seed. And you can be persecuted even more. But you're going to get the word out. Now, we've been to several places in the Philippines. And we have not found another people that have already found this word. So, I think you need to hear what God is going to be saying to you in these days to come. Now we come to verse 12. I'm not getting very far. I have a whole lot more scripture here. It seems I'm stuck here in Amos for now. It says in verse 12, it says, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it."
Verse 12, "Ug sila maglatagaw gikan sa dagat ngadto sa dagat, ug gikan sa amihanan bisan ngadto sa sidlakan. Sila managan ngadto ug nganhi aron sa pagpangita sa pulong sa Ginoo, ug dili makaplag dili."
Now, I'm of the hope and belief that this is not talking about you or me.
Ako paglawa mo pagtuo may so magkinisya wala magasulti, dili kayo magasulti diha kanimo kanako.
I remember I had my day when I went north and east and south, and I went, I heard there was a word, there was a man of God, there was a man who had a gift, there was a prophet. I went here, I went there. I was very hungry. I was very thirsty. And the thing that made me hungry and thirsty was the tribulation that was going on in my life. I was looking for an answer to my problems. But as I was looking, God was filling and feeding me another manna that I hadn't expected. So So I don't know what your search was like. Maybe it wasn't as dramatic as mine. But I know that when I heard the word, the word that God's apostle and God's prophet brought in those days, that I said, yes, this is the word I am looking for. I went home from that first meeting and I said to my wife when we got home, I said, well, what did you think? Now, she was a very discerning woman. You see, men, we need a wife who is a discerning woman. We need a wife who is our own kind. The first thing she said was that brother opened up the front door and the back door and blew us all right through. In other words, it was a word that challenged the old order. Old order religion, old order church. This, I saw it as a refreshing word. A word that went beyond the dead old things that we'd been over and over and over so many times. It went beyond repentance from dead works. Yes, you still have to repent from dead works. See, this word does not do away with those things. But it brings you up to a higher level. I said, okay, sister, what else? She said, Brother Mark. She said, either this word is 100% right, or it is 100% wrong. I'd like to have been in your house to hear what you said to Brother Edmar. You must have said something. You must have asked among yourselves, what about this word? And my answer was, sister, it is 100% right. It is the word I have been longing for so long. And so, I no longer have to wander from sea to sea, from north to south. I know where I can go now to find the word. The word is in you, brethren.
ang pulong ngayon naa sa sulod nimo sa imong sinasig.
I remember in those days of searching. I remember I was in church. They were singing good songs. My heart was hurting, my heart was crying. I remember I raised my hands. Maybe I was the only one raising my hands. But I remember I said, "Oh God, where are you?" And I was crying as if he was thousands of miles up there somewhere. Amen. And I remember as clear as could be the voice of the Spirit of God. I hadn't been used to hearing the voice of the Spirit of God. And he spoke to me from here, within my soul, within my body somewhere.
Nagsulti ang Dios na iyang yung galang mismo o asa repitan bahin sa ako ang lawas.
It was the Spirit speaking to my spirit.
Na makini ang ako espiritu nga ang iyang espiritu sa Dios na nagsulti nga to sa ako espiritu.
And he said, "I'm right here, son."
Magay mo ni naangan ni anak ko, sulod ni mo anak ko.
And I thought, oh, he's not far away. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. I don't have to say, who will go and bring him down? Or who will go into the deep and bring him up to me? He's here. He lives here. Then what is... he lives in a temple? But this is the temple. And this is the temple. And this is the temple.
And
there's another temple, and there's one. And what happens when we get all these houses together? We have a city. We have a city of God. And the city has a name. It's Mount Zion. It's heavenly Jerusalem. Brethren, I don't have to go to Israel to find Jerusalem. Amen. I don't have to become a tourist. Walk on a bunch of old stones. I have no desire to go to that natural place. See, just give me another minute. This is coming to me. This is the city that Abraham was looking for.
Abraham.
See, the call of God in his spiritual ears put a hunger in him. And you can say, well, why did he call me? Why didn't he call my brother? Why did he call Jacob and he didn't call Esau? Well, first of all, Esau was interested in other things. These things didn't matter to Esau. Now, Jacob was not a man worthy of a call. He had some very unrighteous traits in him. But you are here today because the Spirit of God went about seeking and searching throughout all the earth. Looking for a heart that would respond to the message of the kingdom. God saw something in Jacob. If only he could put him in a little fiery trial. Put him in a hard place. Put him where there is no other alternative than call upon the name of the Lord. Then he will call upon my name. And he did. You know, brethren, God knows what's in your heart. And we need to be very, very careful and cautious that we not grieve that Spirit of God that is in us. So let me finish here. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Amen.
Amen.
I think we've said what needs to be said today. For this session. God bless you.